Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Haunted Ohio. Locked in what is known as America's Rust Belt, Ohio is a land that was once rich in industry and progress. Today, many of its once thriving communities are struggling to survive. Declining industry, aging factories, and falling populations have all left a negative impact on this once strong backbone of America. With this rich history and negative decline comes emotions, strong emotions that seem to feed the spirit of generations past. Souls of those who may have left this earth in living form still roam the physical locations they helped to create. The souls that make up Haunted Ohio. On today's episode of The Grave Talks, we talk about many haunted locations throughout Ohio as investigated by John Kashuba.
The first thing is I just do some basic research. You know, I go online and I see, common haunted places, places that a lot of people talk about or have written about or have made some sort of, notoriety, So I'll start with those places because they're pretty well known. But to be honest with you, once I'm there, I just start asking around. I start talking to people because my books are really about interviewing people pretty much all the time. And I get other stories. I'll go to a place that's really well known, like let's say the Ohio State Reformatory in Mansfield. Everybody in Ohio at least knows that place, if not further out than Ohio. So I'll go there and I'll talk to people there, but then I'll just say, I'll be talking to people and I'll say, so, what else is in the Mansfield area? And people say, oh, well, do you know about, Bob's Tavern? I'm just making that name up,
Sure.
I'll say, no, I never heard of it. And they said, oh, yeah, well, we go there all the time, and we've heard stories about it. So I'll go over to Bob's and talk to the owners there and everything else and do my own investigation. So what usually happens is I frequently find places that people hadn't written about before or just, maybe known more locally, like the people in town know it and the town next door maybe, but the rest of the state, people who are interested in the paranormal had never heard of the place. So it's really just, digging, and it's just talking to people, asking questions, because this happens all the time. When I give talks as well, I give library talks frequently on this subject, and I will always have people who will come to me after, the Q&A, and they'll say, well, again, the same thing. Well, how come you didn't write about, the museum across the street, right from the library, And I'll say, what about it? Well, there's two ghosts in there. You're kidding me. So that's how those things happen. By chance. But my whole emphasis was to try to find places that weren't all that well known. I had to include the common places because if I didn't, people would say, well, what kind of researcher are you? You didn't know about the Ohio State Reformatory? Well, yeah, of course I did, but I wanted to put it in. But I also wanted to find places that, well, maybe you haven't heard about that one.
Sure. When you're out there and you're on a haunted road trip and you're covering a lot of ground, how long are you out there just in one trip to try and hit a bunch of places? And how many places can you hit on one, road trip, if you will?
Right. That's sometimes a problem. There was never really one road trip. I made many road trips because Sure. You're right. I had other writing responsibilities. I work as a writer, so I couldn't just be away for, a month at a time doing this kind of stuff. I would try to spend as much time in a location as I could. If there were places where I could actually stay, like a haunted hotel, I would definitely make a point of trying to stay there and getting a room and staying overnight and maybe spending like 2 days there or something. But truthfully, more often than not, I was in a place you know, maybe for several hours during the course of a day and then out, trying to talk to as many people as I can in that location and more get their stories than anything, because it's pretty unlikely that I'm going to pop in on any given day, spend a couple hours at a place and have all kinds of wonderful experiences. You know, it just doesn't, they don't work on demand, unfortunately, you know? So, that was a little bit of a problem. But I feel comfortable enough about it because the people that I spoke to were people that worked there, that were there in and out all the time, and, you know, certainly had a much longer tenure in that location than I did. And so they had stories they've accumulated over days, weeks, months, years, you know. So that's what I did, is we recorded those stories primarily.
What do you think it is about Ohio? Because obviously you have two books on Ohio, and you have several books mm-hmm. about different states and different areas. But Ohio, obviously, a little more attention there. What is it about Ohio that has, in your opinion, more activity, it seems, than some of the others?
Yeah, I get that question all the time, and I really don't have a strong answer for that. Ohio certainly has an interesting history, but, you know, so do most of the places in the United States. We've had our share of disasters and, you know, and frontier life and everything else like so many other states have had. We've had warfare here like so many other states have had. So we're not unique in that regard. But there's other things that I wonder about. For instance, in Athens, Ohio, there are, you've probably heard of ley lines, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a theory that several ley lines cross through Athens, to that area, so that you have sort of a nexus of ley lines coming in from different areas. And people say, well, that creates a lot more energy. It creates, you know, it's a better source for anything in the paranormal because of this energy that's created in these ley lines. Well, I mean, I haven't had a chance to really study that for sure to know whether this is accurate or not. But if it is, it would certainly explain, I think, so many of the stories that come out of Athens and that area, you know, southeast Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of stories that come out of there, and I've written about them. But I wonder also if that might not be true in other areas of Ohio as well.
Sure.
And then there's the geology, too, might play into it, because there's theories about the type of minerals that are in a particular area. Now, we have a lot of, you know, limestone and things like that, and that's supposed to, from what I understand, I don't want to say resonate. That's maybe not the right word. I'm not a geologist. I'm not a physicist. But let's just say contain more energy than maybe some other elements or other geological structures. So there could be something even in the geology of Ohio that contributes to, let's say, the right conditions for a paranormal event.
Sure.
Speculation, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of what we do and what we talk about on this topic is speculation. It's opinion based. It's always interesting to get, you know, your take on it, especially if you're out there and you're doing your own form of investigating. Yeah. With Ohio, I guess my question is, as you get out there and you get into the field, or really any place, it doesn't just have to be Ohio, let's say you find a lot of information, a lot of stories about a specific location, and let's say it's a private location, it's not just, you know, the battlefield over here that anyone could easily talk about, but it's a residence or it's a hotel or something, but there's a lot of information out there about it, and a lot of people have stories and opinions in about it, but then you reach out to the person who owns the place and you say, hey, right. I'd love to talk to you about this, and they're like, we want nothing to do with it, or you just
right.
get, or you get the dial tone immediately. How do you handle something like that when that occurs?
It's happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I can recall a place that I actually investigated in Illinois. It was like a spa. It was in an old home, but it was like a spa and day, you know, like a day salon and spa and all that kind of stuff. And I had heard that it was haunted. And I went up there and I rang a doorbell and I talked to the person that owned it. And she said, well, yeah, okay. She wasn't jumping up and down about, oh, great, you're here. But she said, okay, you know, take a look around, see what you do. So I walked around a little bit, but I wasn't there more than maybe 20 minutes or so before she approached me. And she said, you know, I'm having second thoughts about this. I don't really think I want this stuff out there.
Uh-huh.
When that happens, yeah, I mean, I respect their wishes. You know, it was a private business. The owner was saying that they didn't want the story to be out. So I let it go. And there's been other places like that, too, where I've approached, not so much private places, because the nature of my books were that I always wrote about places that the public could access. I didn't write about somebody's home, mm-hmm. you know, or their private property or something, because I wanted people to actually be able to go on their own and experience these things. And I knew that would be difficult for private locations. But I did find myself that I was interested in just finding out more about, and did have people like this woman in Illinois, who, even though she was running a business, which is open to the public, just didn't want that out there. So, I had started to get some interesting stories from her and everything, but that was it. She said, well, I don't want it. And I said, well, okay. I mean, yeah. There's so many other stories out there that, you know, if I lose one or two because the people don't mm-hmm. want to talk about or don't want it out there, I'm really not losing anything.
Sure. I just know sometimes we get that where you get these leads. It's like, oh, that's a great story. I'd love to learn more. Then you get right. to the point of like, okay, let's tell it. And then so there's a roadblock. And I know sometimes there's ways of making it generic and not stating here's the actual location, but it's a place like this in this general state.
I can give you a real quick example, because just about a month and a half ago, one of my publishers, released a paranormal novel that I wrote called Dark Entry. Mm-hmm. And this place is based on an actual location in Connecticut where I grew up. It was called Dudleytown, was how most people referred to it. And you can just go on a Google search of Dudleytown. You'll get all kinds of stuff on it. But the short story is that it's private property now. It's several homes up on a mountain, and it's a private preserve that they own, and they don't want trespassers there or anything else. And they even basically sent me a letter and told me that I'm not allowed to speak about Dark Entry in public. I'm not allowed to write about it. Well, okay, I have First Amendment rights. Now, you can't tell me that. I won't go on your property, but you can't tell me that I can't write about it if it's, you know, if I want to. Mm-hmm. And because of their tone, I said, you know, I'm writing this novel. But what I did was, the novel is a novel, so it's fiction. So it's loosely based on events that supposedly happened there at that location. Mm-hmm. So that's another way of getting around it. It's not 100% accurate, in the sense that I'm telling stories that I've embellished, obviously, and elaborated upon, because it's a novel and it's sure. fiction. But the basics of, you know, the location, some of the things that were supposed to have happened, I mean, they're in that novel. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I got the last laugh on them, I guess.
Sure, sure. Just one of those curious logistics I know that sometimes our audience has on how, you know, we do what we do. So I thought you're a great source to answer that question with your books. Let's start talking about some of the things in Ohio in some more depth. Let's start talking about some locations, some places. And let's start out with the Toledo area. That always struck me as a very interesting part of the country. The first time I ever went to Toledo, I was 17, and I had a friend who was working in radio there who had moved. And I did a sneaky road trip. I told my parents I was going to visit my girlfriend's grandparents over the holidays, and me and another friend road tripped to Toledo just to visit our friend. And it was a great time. I got in a lot of trouble, but it was a great time. I remember going through that city. And, you know, obviously, it's a very industrial town. It's a town that in a lot of ways, I would say at this time, which was about 1999-ish, it seemed that it was on some hard times. I don't know exactly what the state of it is today. Mm-hmm. But it really, there was a vibe there. There was kind of an oddness to it. I don't know how to put it in any other way. And I'm not trying to insult Toledo or anything of that nature, but that's just kind of how I felt. It was a very cold, foggy, you know, rainy winter day when I was there. Right. But we stayed at a downtown hotel, and I remember there was a pool on the rooftop of the hotel, all enclosed. Went up there, no water in the pool, but you could easily go and sit by it. There was just weirdness that I was feeling the whole time. The whole time I was in Toledo. So I'm imagining there's probably a good deal of stories around the area. Would you mind sharing some of those for us?
Yeah, well, there's two places that I wrote about in Toledo in particular that I think are interesting, and one was, it's called the Collingwood Art Center.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.